Matthew chapter 3. At that time, John the Baptist came into the desert region of Judea and started to proclaim, "Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is now near at hand." John was prophesied about by the prophet Isaiah when he spoke of someone who is shouting in the desert, "Prepare a way for the Lord and make straight the path that he must travel." Well, in those days, roads were not very good, and they were just tracks, really. And when a famous person or a king was coming, people went ahead and cleared up the road and took all the rocks out and leveled it out. And the idea is that we are to be that way. And insofar as we get prepared, then we are, as it were, allowing Jesus to come in glory to Jerusalem. So the clothes that John the Baptist wore were made from camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate as food locusts and wild honey. So he was clearly dressed like Elijah, because he was possibly the Elijah prophet that Malachi had spoken about, who would come to proclaim the way for Jesus. All the people came out from Jerusalem and from throughout Judea and from the area around the River Jordan, and they came to him and admitted their sins, and he baptized them in the River Jordan. Now you see how baptism required water. He didn't just sprinkle some water on them, he actually dipped them in the River Jordan. When John saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming out to him to be baptized, he said to them, "You vipers, you brood of snakes, who told you that you could escape from the judgment which God is going to send upon you? You must do things which are fruits that are appropriate for your repentance. Don't think that you're going to escape judgment by claiming that Abraham is your father. I tell you that God can take these stones and make of them children for Abraham." So there's no point just thinking that, because I'm a Christian or because my parents were Christian or whatever, therefore I shall be okay. Because God deals with people on a completely individual, personal basis. And it's no good just liking the idea of being baptized or liking the idea of a strong religious teacher like John the Baptist. There's got to be personal fruit for repentance. That is, if you've really changed in your thinking, then repentance of itself means to rethink. Well, it is going to be seen in your actions. There is going to be a change. So he says, "The axe is laid to the root of the trees. It's about to be swung and cut them down. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Now the good fruit, he's just defined as the fruit that is appropriate for repentance. So it really is a case of repent or be cut down. That is how important it is to be aware of our sins. But in the world in which we live, the talk about sin and the need for repentance is not very popular. The idea is we're all jolly good fellows, really. A few whoopsies, but we're all great people, really. It's just a few evil people out there who are bad, and we're all jolly good. But the fact is, we must all recognize that we do genuinely sin, and we must repent. And that is the fruit that is necessary, unless we will be cut down. "I baptize you with water," John says, "unto repentance, but the one who's going to come after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is so much greater than I am, and I am not worthy even to carry his sandals." Now, you carried the sandals of the person who was coming after you. So he was carrying his sandals, but he says, "I'm not good enough to do that." So that should be our attitude, that yes, I do preach Jesus, but I'm not worthy to do that. I do it, but I'm unworthy. So there should be a humility in all the witness that we make. He has got his fan in his hand to thresh out all the grain. So all the light stuff is going to be blown away in the wind, and the heavy actual grain falls to the ground. He's going to gather his wheat into the barn, but he's going to burn up the chaff, the light stuff, with fire. That's figurative, of course, because the stuff that gets burnt up, in any case, doesn't get burnt forever. It just gets burnt until it goes to dust. So the idea of eternal fire is not to be read literally. Sometimes Jesus talks about Gehenna, which was the rubbish tip outside Jerusalem, where the fires were always burning rubbish. But the rubbish that got thrown onto it didn't stay burning forever. It just went back to dust. But the fires appeared to keep burning because the rubbish kept on being thrown onto it. So God is not going to punish people forever and ever. He's not going to burn them forever. This is wrong. The wages of sin is death. And in Revelation, it says that the wicked will die the second death. So death is unconsciousness. And that is what's going to happen in the end to those who reject the claims of Jesus. It was at that time that Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan River to be baptized of him. But John didn't want to do this. He said, "I should be baptized by you, but you've come to me to be baptized." Jesus replied, "Let us do this now, because thus it is necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness." And so John baptized him. Well, why Jesus was baptized is a difficult question, but I think he was baptized, let's say, to set us an example. And don't forget, he was 30 years old when he was baptized. He was not baptized as a child, as a baby, as is practiced in some churches. And he was baptized in the river. So clearly the idea of baptism was of complete dipping in water. Immediately after Jesus had been baptized and had come up out of the water, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and sitting upon him. And a voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."